Alrighty. I'm glad to be speaking with you guys today. I get to talk to you guys about some gratitude. When I was thinking about talking about gratitude, I was thinking, like, gratitude is, it feels like a simple thing, but it's not always a simple thing. And have you guys ever thought about how we might just say, like, I'll be happy once I get this. I'll be happy once this gets accomplished. I'll be happy once I can get to this point. And for the past 6 months, my big thing has been, I'll be happy once I graduate. And I'll be happy that I don't have to do college. I'll be happy if I don't have to do that. But I was thinking about, like, how much of that have I actually looked at gratitude? How much do I say I'm thankful for college? I'm thankful for the things I'm learning in college. I'm thankful for the experience I'm having going through college. So we often feel grateful when things are going well, like receiving good news, a raise, or a gift. But during hardship, I find it hard to always be grateful. So when I was writing this sermon, I was looking back at, like, times I wasn't grateful, and one time kept on sticking out to me. So back when I was a freshman in high school, my dad moved to Australia, and me and my siblings, we went over to Australia for Christmas. And during that Christmas trip, we decided to go over to the Great Barrier Reef, and we stayed in an Airbnb the night before. And then me and my sisters, we got into, like, an argument. I don't know who started it. It's most likely I started it. I'm pretty sure I started it. But it really made me think about how, like, we were going to the Great Barrier Reef, something that many people want to go to. But I allowed my anger, I allowed my frustration to ignore the gratitude I should have had, the gratitude I should have had for my dad for taking me, or the gratitude of just being able to be in that situation. So today we're going to explore what it means to live with gratitude, with a grateful heart. Not just when things are good, but in every situation. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you with hearts open to your presence. Today, we seek to grow in gratitude, to learn what it means to be give thanks in all situations. Lord, help us see beyond the noise of our culture, which tells us to chase after more instead of find contentment in you alone. Remind us of your blessings you have placed in our lives, both big and small, and show us how to cherish each one in our lives. Open our hearts and minds to your word today, and let it transform us to live with true thankfulness. In your name we pray, amen. So the Apostle Paul offers a profound insight on gratitude in his letter to the Philippians, which is written under harsh circumstances. So let's read Philippians 4:10-13. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concerns for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Oop, I lost my place. I know how to be brought low. And I know how to be abound. In any and every circumstances, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So I first want to start off just talking about Paul's imprisonment and his gratitude despite the hardships. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians from prison in Rome. And he was likely chained to a guard and awaiting for a trial that could lead to his execution. Roman prisons were dark, cold, and a hostile place with little food or comfort. Prisoners often relied on the friends or the churches to help bring provisions, which makes the Philippians' renewed support even more significant. Despite these conditions, Paul talks about joy, gratitude, showing us that thanksgiving is not tied to a life being easy or comfortable. So I just want us to take a moment and just close our eyes and picture this. We're in a prison with a concrete floor, a cold floor, and we're chained to somebody. But you are writing about rejoicing greatly in the Lord. Could you do that? Paul had every reason to be bitter, just like we would have every reason to be bitter if we were in that situation. And yet his letter to the Philippians is overflowing with thanksgiving and thankfulness. This challenges us. If Paul could give thanks from prison, how much more can we cultivate gratitudes in our own lives when we are facing challenges? You guys can open your eyes if you still have them closed. I was thinking, like, I should probably say that soon. This book is known as the Epistle of Joy because of Paul's attitude of joy and gratitude despite being imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And one thing that stuck out to me was the first verse. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revealed your concerns for me. This isn't just a simple thank you. Paul writes words to reflect a great sense of gratitude that goes beyond acknowledgement. His joy is rooted not in what he received, but in love and partnership with the Philippians. This gift wasn't just a financial relief. It was a testament to the deep care for Paul and the commitment to his mission in spreading the gospel. Paul's gratitude flows from a heart that sees beyond mere material support to a spiritual bond that he shares with the Philippians. This wasn't a transactional exchange. It was a relationship rooted in mutual encouragement, love, and shared purpose. For Paul, the support symbolized a partnership, a reminder that he wasn't isolated, even if the connection with the Philippians was one of shared with faith and commitment. Paul's response reveals a profound truth about Christians' life. We are designed to depend on one another. Unlike the world's view in self-sufficiency, we are to be interdependent. We are to rely on one another. Paul understood this, that we are to rely on another, to have support with one another, that we can have a shared gratitude in one another. Christian gratitude often springs from a place of interdependency, where we see the value of those God has placed in our lives. And the gift from the Philippians wasn't just a kindness. It was a vital lifeline that enabled Paul to continue his work in renewed strength of joy. In a sense, it reminded that no one is called to walk through life alone. God designed his church as a community where we uplift, support, and encourage one another. When we cultivate gratitude for these relations, we can acknowledge that God's blessing often comes through the people around us. For us, this means recognizing and giving thanks for the support system in our lives, for our families, for our friends, for our fellow believers, and for our church communities. Like Paul, we too can find joy in the love and concern of others. Realizing that we don't have to shoulder life's burdens alone. Just as Paul rejoiced over the Philippians' care, we're invited in to rejoice in the way that God provides through us. In moments of gratitude, we can choose to see beyond material and immediate benefits and recognize the spiritual bond that makes us stronger. Our culture talks about discontentment. Our culture says, if you buy this, you'll be happy. If you get this, you'll be happy. If you get this cool new video game, you'll be happy for about 3 hours, and then you're bored. We're taught that fulfillment is something to be achieved. A goalpost that keeps on moving through every new trend, but even moving away from us. Every time we achieve that goal, we're like, okay, we got this goal. What's next? What else is going to make me happy? True joy isn't just obtaining physical things. Paul writes in the Philippians, challenging the mindsets, offering a message that is radically countercultured. He shows us that lasting happiness isn't found in acquiring more. It's found in Christ. In Philippians 4, Paul speaks not from a place of abundance, but from a place of contentment. A deep joy rooted in his relationship with Jesus. For Paul, the secret of contentment wasn't tied to circumstances or progression, but it was knowing that Christ personally and relying on him, on his strength. This perspective urges us to look into our own lives and to really ask ourselves, in what areas am I waiting for things to improve before I feel grateful? And I was really thinking about that as I was writing this. I was thinking, in what areas of my life do I need to feel like needs to be improved before I feel more grateful? Are we postponing gratitude until a certain achievement, a certain pay raise, or a change in circumstances to arrive? It's easy to follow into the trap of I'll be happy when, or I'll be grateful once, thinking. Yet, these thoughts will only lead us into a cycle of endless waiting and unfulfilled desires. Paul's message invites us to embrace a new way of thinking, one that finds peace in Christ's presence. Regardless of what we have or what we lack, when we choose gratitude right now, we are freed from never-ending quest for more. Instead, we experience the riches of life that comes from the relationship with God, who is more than enough. So let's challenge ourselves to identify areas that we've been delaying gratitude. Perhaps it's our job, our relationship, or just our daily routine. Let's ask ourselves, can we be thankful today even if our circumstances don't change? Can we be thankful today even if our daily routines or daily circumstances don't change? Paul's contentment in Christ encourages us to find joy and gratitude in him. In his provisions, no matter what situation, this shift from culture discontentment to a spiritual contentment transforms our outlook, allowing us to see life through the lens of gratitude, knowing that Christ, we already have everything we truly need. So one thing I also do during the summers is I like to go on wildland fires. I volunteer here at the Palouse. And it was really making me think about how gratitude really spreads like a wildfire. Gratitude has a remarkable power and influence, and not in just our lives, but the lives around us. It's contagious. It's like a spark that catches and spreads. When we express thankfulness, we model the mindset that inspires others to create a ripple effect of positivity and encouragement. Just as a single flame can ignite an entire forest, a single act of gratitude can set off a chain reaction, influencing our families, our friends, and our communities. Now think about this. How does it feel when you're around somebody who's grateful? Somebody who's genuinely grateful for what they have and what they don't have? The joy and appreciation have a way of like lifting our spirits, making us more mindful of our own blessings. Gratitude breaks through the negativity and frustrations, helping us to focus on what we have rather than what we lack. This shift in perspective doesn't just impact our attitudes. It can inspire others to pause and reflect and to adopt a more thankful outlook of themselves. In a world where complaints and criticism often dominates conversations, gratitude can shine as a light that transforms relationships. A simple thank you, a simple note of just thank you, or a shared acknowledgement of God's blessing can uplift someone's day. This small act of kindness and gratitude can make others feel valued and seen. And promoting them to pass it forward, creating a cycle of gratitude. Paul's letters are filled with gratitude, even in hardships. His thankfulness didn't just strengthen in his faith. It encouraged the early day church who turned and supported one another. Imagine if we too could choose to live with that level of gratitude. We would start to see our expressions of gratitude and how it can impact others in helping our communities grow closer and more joyful and more in tune with God's blessing. So let's let gratitude spark something bigger. When we start with a heart of thanksgiving, we become a fuel, a wildfire for gratitude, spreading joy and encouragement of faith throughout our lives and into other people's lives. Now, a big thing is gratitude's a choice. You don't always feel grateful, but you always choose gratitude. Gratitude doesn't just come automatically, especially in the tough times. It's not just a feeling that appears when things go well. It's an intentional decision to focus on what we have rather than what we lack. Gratitude is a choice we make daily. It's a conscious shift in perspective that allows us to see God's hand in every part of our lives. This choice often requires a change in our mindset. Instead of waiting for a perfect condition to be grateful, we can decide to find something to appreciate, no matter our circumstances. It's easy to feel thankful when life is smooth. But true gratitude grows when we choose it, despite difficulties, disappointment, and unmet expectations. Like Paul, who exposed contentment and gratitude from prison, we can choose to see blessings and in challenging places. Choosing gratitude transforms our outlook. It's a shift of our focus from what we're missing to what's present. From scarcity to abundance. By actively seeking gratitude, we can be thankful for. This choice doesn't mean delaying pain or hardship, but rather finding strength in acknowledging God's goodness and mindset of it. Imagine waking up each day and choosing to start with gratitude. Even if things aren't perfect, over time this practices our heart and shapes our heart to be more grateful. It becomes easier to notice small blessings and appreciate the simple gifts, like a warm meal, a friend's kind words, or just a moment of peace. These little choices to be grateful creates a habit of joy, anchoring us in God's love and provision. I like to look at gratitude as like a muscle. We have to work at it. We have to choose to do it. Just like how I don't choose to go to the gym, but the gym's healthy for me. If I chose to go to the gym, I can work out that muscle, and it takes time. And you get used to it. So let's make gratitude a daily choice. In choosing gratitude, we're not just reacting to life circumstances. We are actively participating in God's work of transforming our hearts. Gratitude becomes an act of faith and trusting no matter what. God is present and providing for us. So what does contentment in Christ mean? Contentment is more than being satisfied with life circumstances. It's finding peace in Christ regardless of what is happening. It is not based on how much we have or how little we have. Paul's insight was that he wasn't chasing wealth, success, or comfort. Instead, Paul's joy came from knowing Jesus and trusting in Jesus. Our worldly gratitude is the saying of like, I'll be happy when. But biblical gratitude is, I'm thankful now because Christ is enough. Whether I have as much or as little, Christ is enough. Worldly gratitude waits for circumstances to change. But biblical gratitude starts with Christ. It's about the little gifts of gratitude. We sometimes focus on the big gifts or the big things like getting a new job, moving a new place, or winning a prize. So this last month, last month we had a youth student who just came for, this youth student came late, and she was only there for 10 minutes, then had to leave. And in my book, I take that as a win. We got a youth to come through the door. Even though it was for 10 minutes, they got some dinner, and they got a cookie. Now, one thing we need to do is reframe our success in God's eyes. Our culture often emphasizes accomplishment as a sign of success, like getting a promotion, buying a house, or winning a competition. But in God's view, success isn't what the world praises. Just as you saw the brief student come in for 10 minutes as a win, God celebrates each small step we take towards Him. Even the small victories, like showing up, speaks a faithfulness and commitment, even if it's just for a moment. The power of the small acts. God often uses small, insignificant moments to bring great change. Scripture has many examples, such as the widow's mite in Luke 21, verse 1 through 4. Jesus acknowledges her small offer as a greater, larger donation than everyone else, because it came from her heart. This can remind us that the small gestures of faith, like just a student's brief presence, can mean significance, because I don't think they know that I'm using them in a sermon. Faithfulness in the little things. In Luke 16:10, where Jesus says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Our gratitude and attentiveness to small things build up. It builds a foundation for greater faithfulness. By noticing and celebrating these moments, we can cultivate a heart of gratitude, appreciating all the gifts, big or small. Gratitude builds on connection and encouragement and growth. Small gestures to us shows that someone cares. Even if it's brief, by valuing these small moments, we're building an atmosphere of acceptance where every act is celebrated. The students' 10 minutes wasn't just a quick dinner. It was a moment that they felt connected. And it was great because I got to get a high five from them. But expressing these moments, we can be a lifeline showing these people that they are noticed, that they are valued. Something really cool was actually last week they actually came and stayed for the whole youth group. And I thought that was really cool. And I think that I helped by just that small, intentional, it was a small moment, but it showed bigger things. Gratitude draws us closer to God. By focusing on the little things, we can see how God's hand is in every aspect of lives. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, Paul reminds us to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. If we thank God for the little things, like a brief presence, we begin to see how He's really working, how He's really working in every aspect of our lives. So here's some practical steps of how you can cultivate a grateful heart. Start with a daily gratitude journal. Write down what you're thankful for. You can wake up in the morning. What are you thankful for at that moment? What can you be thankful for? Thank God in prayer, even in the challenges. Begin prayers by thanking God, not for the blessings, but also for the challenges. By trusting Him and trusting that He will work through it, challenges can become a blessing in disguise and showing us how, and shaping us, shaping our characters and our faith. Serve others as an act of thanksgiving. Gratitude grows when we are focused on meeting others' needs rather than dwelling on what we don't have here. Find ways to serve someone this week through kind gestures, volunteering, or just offering them help. Acts of services can remind us the blessings, can remind us of the blessings we've received, and we can help others give back. Gratitude starts now. Gratitude isn't something we wait for circumstances or ideal or until we feel ready to give thanks. It's an immediate response. A choice that we can begin today, right now, waiting for everything to just be right can keep us trapped in discontentment. But gratitude, when practiced in the present, it frees us to see God's hand here and now. Starting with gratitude today means choosing to be thankful for the small things, for the things that we overlook. Maybe it's just the warmth of a cup of coffee, the beautiful sunset, or just being with a friend. It's easy to push gratitude off to some future thing, but thinking I'll be thankful when I have more or when my circumstances improve, but this mindset leaves us always looking forward, missing the gifts that we have right now. Paul's message in Philippians reminds us that gratitude isn't a result of a perfect circumstance. It's rooted in Christ, who is unchanging and who is always with us. When we choose gratitude now, we are acknowledging that our hope and joy doesn't depend on things going our way. We're saying, thank you, Lord, for your presence in every season. This attitude allows us to experience the presence and contentment that comes from trusting God, regardless of our lives' ups and downs. Gratitude that starts now reshapes our perspective. It trains us to see blessings in every challenge and to find joy in God's faithfulness. As we practice this now, gratitude becomes not just a response to good things, but a steady rhythm in our lives, aligning us with God's presence and His provisions. So let's not wait. Let's begin today. Let's start now with the small things, with everyday moments. It's a way of living that opens our hearts to God's goodness here and now, and allows us to carry the perspective with us into every day. And I really like this saying, worldly gratitude waits for circumstances to change, but biblical gratitude starts with Christ. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this time together and for the ways you've reminded us of the power of gratitude. As we leave here today, help us carry a heart of thankfulness. Into every moment, finding joy in both the little and large blessings you provided. Teach us to see your hand at work in everyday circumstances. To rejoice in your presence and to share this gratitude with others. May our lives reflect of your love, inspiring those around us to see your goodness. We thank you, and we trust you and your strength as you go forth.